preachers, amen. I preach these boys this morning. Oh, my. I'm going to tell you one thing. You had Brother Bill going back there. We all put Brother Bill to sleep. You had him going, buddy. All of us, Brother Bill's usually sleeping on us, you know, and he's just sitting there, but he was going today. He was flipping that Bible and talking about it and looking at me while y'all was preaching. So I thank God. I don't want to stand here with you, boys. I tell you what. Amen. That was good preaching, wasn't it? Thank God for it, boy, I tell you. Now, old Brother Carrico's got more power than I thought he did. Amen. I won't tell on him, but I tell you, I didn't believe he could do it, but he did it. All right, I won't tell him. Amen. Ring the bell already. Well, people been ringing the bell this morning, haven't they? Thank God for it. Amen. I'm climbing up. Well, amen. I want to appreciate all the kindness. I'm sitting there with Brother Ben Watts. I just brought him up. I invited him up here. That's a young preacher. I said, just come on up here. You'll find some help up here. He said he hadn't heard one argument from preachers since he'd been here. And he said, that's very strange, you know. You know, and at a camp meeting. And that's good, isn't it? Yeah, that's real good. Don't mean that we don't argue, Brother Ben. We're just afraid of Brother Duncan. He might throw us out. Amen. But I do appreciate the help. I came in hard. I came in with thoughts on my mind. I come up that road and all kinds of things in my mind on problems and preachers and things. And things that we face that when we leave here, we go out, all of us preachers, and we preach each other's places. And we get into all the problems of things that happen. Then we come back together and we try to get rid of all that. Fellowship together. Brother Duncan, he didn't know. He just reproved me. He didn't know it. He said, now let's get rid of all those things and get the right spirit. Coming in here, and God said, get the right spirit, you know. And I went over there early yesterday morning and just got what I needed from the Lord. And then the Lord starts doing the work in us, helping us, you know. And that's Him, ain't it? Amen. And I thank you for, I didn't know how to act. I just don't know how to act. I told Brother Ike, and I can talk a little bit on this one, so amen. Told Brother Mike Thurman, I feel like that, I sort of just be a little negative about it. I feel like that. Anybody know the Indians and Salwe tribes in Papua New Guinea? Their way of life is to win somebody and get them to be confident in you, and then they real nice to you, and they take you up to the point when they feel they've got you fully leaning on them and trusting them. And then after they do that, they kill you and eat you. So, you know, Steve got me, get me right up to the place, you know, I was fully trusted. And then, here come, death will come, you know. So, you know, it's amen. I just kid you there, all right? All right, let me get rid of my shirt. And you can stand, open your Bible to Genesis, please. And I want to read two verses. And, it's actually three verses. Genesis 49. It's four verses. Amen. It's just getting longer and getting bigger and bigger. Amen. Getting bigger and bigger. Well, it's five verses. Lunch is at 1 o'clock. Water's here. You better be good, Brother Carrico. I'll tell him, brother. All right. All right, I'm going to read the verses, all right, 22 through 26. 22 through 26. Genesis 49, verses 22 through 26. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Lord, help me now as I try to give this that's been in my heart, and then, God, what you have done in these times with me and my help. Thank you for these people here, and God, these men of God and these young preachers that you've let us come together with in our days. God, that you've done what you've done already, but I pray that, God, what you have shown me and helped me with, and then these other men of God that have showed me and talked to me, and we fellowship together, and you've given us what we need together, I pray that we might be able to give it to these young men in a matter of what they could understand, the things that would come their way, and God, what you have for them in the future and what you're going to do with them if they abide in your way and abide with you. Help us, Lord, now that we could be able to open our heart and our mind and everything that you want of us, that it'll be done this morning. I thank you for the power of God that rests upon each one of these men as they stood and preached your word. Thank you for what you've done already before us. Bless me now, God. Help this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated. I'd like to take for the title of the message in verse 25, blessings of the deep that lieth under. Blessings of the deep that lieth under. Let's throw by introduction that Joseph is a fruitful bough. He's a fruitful bough. And he is fruitful by a well. By the well of the waters that he's going to draw from. Great depths of in this water. The water is underneath. The water is down underneath. And he draws from this water. And he gets this strength in his life from drawing from these wells. And these wells of waters you'll be drawing from in your life as you draw up from the depths to be able to be the tree that would put forth a fruitful bough. You get strength from the wells. You get satisfied from the wells. And all the nourishment that you need to be able to find the work of the fruit to be on your life or in your life. Then the wall there of a wall could be a barrier in your life. But I want to think about the wall being something that you overcome. Being an overcomer in our life. This is the victory that overcometh the world. And the word there, victory, is the only word used in the New Testament for success. You'll reference it, and this is the success to overcome the world, even your faith. It's faith that overcomes the world. Not all the luxuries and not all the great things and not all the things that you might feel like that you become an overcomer and accomplished, but faith in itself is the overcomer, is the success of the world. If you've got faith, you can overcome everything. Amen. By believing the Lord. And faith is the work of overcoming obstacles and the walls that get in front of you in your life. And God can tear those walls down by faith. He can bring it all down. He did for Joshua, didn't he? When they shouted, the walls fell. Amen. And that's how he'll bring down the walls. But then he has a fearful bow. He is still strong in his battles. There in the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Amen. Have you ever been shot at? Oh my, have you ever just been shot at a lot of times? Has somebody shot you and you're just sitting there? You ain't been in camp meeting long enough. You ain't been shot at, buddy. You ain't got long there long enough.
But I'm trying to get to the place of how that God blesses you from underneath. All these things are coming up for a blessing. All these things. It's God's going to bless your life down the road. And the blessings of God on you now. When these shots come at you, he's still a battler, brother. Amen. I just think, old Steve, he gets so humble. I'm getting worried about him. Amen. I think, man, I don't go over and see if I can probe his ribs and see if he's got any fight still left in him. Amen. But I believe if you just hit him right, he'd shoot you right fast. Amen. He'd shoot you. Have you ever been shot at? Have you ever been hated by someone? Is there somebody in that way of your life and you wonder why they didn't? And Joseph, his own brethren hated him. They hated him. That's a strong word for your brethren to hate you. They hated him because of envy. Because of envy. Hey, God's working something in your life. When he starts this way out and people start shooting at you and people start hating you, yea, even your brethren, amen. And don't get bitter about it. Just stand in the battle, amen. Just stand in the way. Don't get wrong about it. But just keep your bow ready. You know what I mean? Just keep your bow ready. And his bow abode. Amen. You might think some of these fellows have got mellow and they got jello, whatever it is. But they'll pull the bow on you. It still stands strong, buddy. It's still right there. It's still in their hand. But they're taking the shots and they're taking the hate and they're taking the things that come their way because there's a blessing in it. There's a blessing that lies underneath all that. There's a blessing that lies under all that in there. As it comes on, not only he has a fearful bow and he's a fruitful bough, but he has a faithful blesser. Amen. There's a faithful blesser. That ain't talking about things in there. There's a blesser in his name, Jesus, brother. And he's a faithful one to bless you. He's faithful to bless you, brother. He's faithful to do what's going to do for you. If you keep on thirsting, you keep on looking at him, and you keep on hungering after him, and you keep on learning about what he's doing to you, and take examples of what's been set before you, and share and learn about the Lord, and keep yourself in the way, hey, he's going to bless you, brother. Down the way, he's going to bless you. There's a future blessing down there. And they're lying underneath. They're lying. Underneath. They're down under there, brother. They're down under there. They're lying underneath. Amen. I believe there was a turning point in Joseph's life I've never seen. I've been studying on Joseph this last month or so, and as he had come through all these things, and I'll give you 4 points here in a second, as he's coming through his life and then, and he went to the pit, to the prison, down into the Potter's house, to the palace. And usually end his life as a means of being that at the palace. You know, everybody thinks about Joseph and the end of the story of Joseph in the last chapter 50 is the palace. It's not so. It's right in the middle of his life where he's in the palace. It's right. He's done got into the palace. And most of the story deals with his brothers coming down to him. Most of the story deals with them coming down there wanting some corn. There's famine in the land. Amen. But I say, I'm going to put this out. And I don't know where you're at. I tell you what, brother. Where you at, Brother Lindsay? All right, man. I tell you, buddy. You've got more out of that than I ever seen. We're sitting there, we're digging like crazy, but I never seen all that, boy. But anyway, this shit might be somebody got it, but let me get on with it so I'm getting the points. Hey, he got to the palace. He got over there after Joseph interpreted the dream to him about the famine for 7 years and the plenty. And I believe it is right at the end of his life, or end of that time. And he gets the interpretation and he makes him governor over Egypt and to take care of. And one thing about Joseph is that I believe Joseph dealt with the economy. He was an economist. And I believe Daniel was a statesman. Daniel was a statesman in the midst of wars. But Joseph was an economist in Egypt in the midst of famine. Because he talked about stewardship, brother.
talked about stewardship. He talked about the economy. He talked about food and clothing. And every one of you today is concerned about your belly. Just say amen right there. And you're worried about whether or not you're going to get the food next day. And you're worried about what the economy is going to be. And you go out the door and you can shout it out and get fat here. But when you get out the door, it gets thin, buddy. It gets thin about what it is. Hey, he was an economist. And he was in the midst of that. And he became governor over it. And as he became governor over it, he started looking at his life. And I believe at the end of those 7 years, he had those two sons, that plenty. And he named one of them Manasseh. He named one of those sons Manasseh. Now let me hurry over right fast and give you something there. I want to say it just like it is. Over there in Manasseh. And he said, now I shall name my first son named Manasseh, for he hath made me. Now get a hold of this. He hath made me. He maketh me to lie down too in green pastures, brother. He hath made me. I got news for you. If you're God's brother, He knows how to make you lie down. Amen. He hath made me. Hallelujah. You might be able to get all out of shape and blow it out and do everything else, but God knows how to make you, brother. He'll make you. You'll get alone. You'll get somewhere. And God says, hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. He'll make you. He'll make you what you ought to be. God will make you, buddy. He made me. Yeah, man, you're glad God makes you. Glad men ain't making you. Amen. You ain't trying to fall into any man's mold. I'm not trying to fall into man's way. I'm not wanting to be the preacher's hell or anybody else. I want to be God. I want to be made by God. I want God to make me. I want to be exactly what He wants me to be. Yeah, man, God make you. Amen. Every one of you were different. Amen. Well, they shouted a little bit more on mine than did his. Well, I don't want to get on that, all right? I had to face all that stuff and count me for you. It's your turn. Amen. Praise the Lord. He hath made me. The wind's blowing it, and I've got to hurry. He named his name Manasseh. He hath made me, listen, forget all my toil and all my father's house. There come a point in his life, he's already in Egypt, he's made governor, here he is in Egypt, he married an Egyptian, he's already out of what his dreams were, he's already told his brothers that they're going to bow down to him, he'd already said to them, told them about all of his dreams and everything else, his dreams had done went poof, all the things that he thought that was going to happen to him. Everything that he said is going to be a help. Here he is, married to an Egyptian, and he's been toiling all these years, and every bit of it just seemed to be gone down the drain. And the Lord has made me this way. He keeps on putting me here. He keeps on putting me these places. And I'm down here, and he's brought me where I'm at. I think I'll just name my first son Manasseh, and I'm going to forget all my toiling. I'm going to forget all of my past. I'm going to forget, yay, I'm going to forget my family.
I think if you got married, you ought to leave and cleave, don't you? Mom and daddy ought to stay out of it. Yeah. Hope some of you boys and girls that got married make you a family, make you a home. Amen. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I just think that when you go to a church, you all just marry that church. Amen. I'm just dropping by for a little while. I think I'll preach here for a year or so, and then I'll be on down the road. Amen. You ain't worth a nickel. Praise God. You ain't worth a nickel, brother. If you didn't go to stay, you're not even ready in the first place. If you weren't called to that church, if it don't ever burn your heart, if you can't forget your family, if you can't fall down and let your dreams be on the past, forget what you thought, forget what you think you're going to be, forget what your dreams are, forget your dreams, let them go, brother.
need to forget their dreams. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be that. I'm going to have this church. I'm going to get this place. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. Hey, he got to a place. He said, I'm going to forget my past. Yeah, won't you let loose a mom and daddy and grow up? I told my son-in-law the other day, I've got your people here, and I told him up there to throw you out. And I'll guarantee you, brother, he got to tickle me doing this up there. He got in the seat, got to laughing while I was doing that and pulling his pants. I said, one more out of you, I'll have everybody in your church throw you out, buddy. You're going on. You better forget that family. Hey, do you have good dreams that went down the drain? When you started out, your dreams is doing this, and your dreams are doing that, and your dreams are doing this. And here he is, buddy, governor of Egypt. And one thing about it, though, it didn't make any difference where he went. God was with him. Every place he went, God was with him. And they saw the blessings of God on his life. He said, this was a man that prospered. Hey, man, I don't care if you're down in Egypt. I don't care if you're up in Babylon. I don't care if you're up in the Yankee country or down south at the bottom of southern Yankees. You get right in the middle and get right with God. But anyway, hallelujah. Hey, I don't care where you're at. God blessed him. God blessed him. God bless him. They were lying underneath. They were lying underneath. They were underneath. You're going to have to see them, brother. They were down underneath. They were under. You can't even recognize them. You can't even see what God's doing. You think all these things are bad things to you. Amen. It might be bad things, but God's with you, brother. And the blessings of the Lord. Hey, he said he forgot the past. Forget the past. Well, I wish my family would help me serve the Lord. I wish my daughter and my son was with me. Well, I do too. I wished I could serve in the church with this ministry with my sons and daughters. A lot of problems come up, don't they, Brother Biddle? A lot of calls come up, Dr. Jones. I'm his friend. We're right beside. I went through many battles with Brother Jones. Many battles. I'm back home now, brethren. Why'd you go back to the tabernacle for? You know, that's where I was sent out.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it just ain't like it used to be. It just ain't like they don't like you no more. I don't care how they feel about you. That's the will of God. You start using on that feeling about it stuff, you'll never stay in the will of God. You'll never stay in the will of God. You get to worry about that feeling. They don't like me no more. Well, who cares what they like? I mean, you do care about it. You've got to get in the will of God. You've got to be right where God said. I was sent out from the local church. Amen. I was ordained to preach the word of God. I sat under the charge of my pastor. I went out to a church and I started pastoring for 8 years. And I pastored for 10. Then God blew me into evangelism. And all this thing. I'm still in evangelism. But I moved back to my home church. I don't know what I did with them, what I do with them. I know the outline anyway. I preached it before. They're in the floor. Name the first of Manasseh, and I'm trying to hurry. God hath made me to forget my past. I forgot all my toiling. And I forgot all the brokenness of my family. He forgot his father's house. I don't mean you forget them and let them go. I mean, you got them in your heart, Brother Chay. You see them down there everywhere. But you got to forget it and go on with God. Go on with God. Not forsake them. Not forsake them. You don't forsake your family. You don't forsake your brothers and your sisters and your mamas and your daddies, young people. But I tell you one thing, if you get married, you ought to leave and cleave. Amen.
It's not forget mom and daddy. Don't you need to call them every once in a while? You know, you get on the phone, call them, say, "Hey, just waiting on you to call them." Everything else, but you've got to go make a life. Amen. You've got to grow up. You've got to face the world. You've got to face life. You've got to face the problems. You've got to learn how to live in among all this kind of day. And I want to say something to you. After all these years, my God's still able, brother. He can make a home. He can make a church. He can do a work. He can make it. Hey, God can bless you. God can bless you. You got to see the blessings underneath. See the blessings underneath. They lie underneath. First son was Manasseh. Second son was called Ephraim. Check him out. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my afflictions. Here He's causing it to happen. God hath caused me, not make me. He made me forget, but He causes me to be. Has anybody listened to Rabbi Zacharias? The apologetic. You don't listen to him. He talks so big you can't understand a thing he's saying. I'm still working on his first word. Time of trying to get the second. He's telling a lot of truth, but I just can't understand what he's saying. But he had one of these fellows out of Cambridge over, and he was over not long ago, and the Cambridge, this fellow sent one of his men out of Zacharias' ministries. I'll just stop right there a little bit. There ain't no ministries outside of the local church. Say amen right there. It's Rabbi Zacharias and ministries. It's the local church's ministry. Oh, that's a killing a bunch of it, ain't you? Are you an evangelistic association trying to get you a Billy Graham association too? Amen right there. Thought you was fundamental, independent, God-fearing, devil-hating, sin-killing, not ecumenical Baptist. Amen. Thought you were true independent Baptist. Amen. Fundamental. Amen. Doctrinally straight. Local church. Ordination, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. I thought you was a preacher ordained and charged by the man of God, the pastor, amen. As you sit there and he charged you to take the word of God and start a church and get out there and win them to Christ and then teach them and reach them and teach them and teach them. Teach them what? Teach them the doctrines of the church. I teach them what the Bible says about it. And teach them what God says. And start and establish a church. Bones, splintered, blown up, popped up stuff. Half of it ain't even churches. He has caused me to be. It's not in your knowing. It's not in your knowing Judaism, the law, and all that. They have a knowledge. It's not in your knowing. They even know the Scriptures, but they know not the Lord. It's not in your knowing, brother. I know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. As that old preacher says, it's just a coming. He says, where's faith coming from? He says, I don't know, but it's a coming. It's just a coming. That's all I know. It's just a coming. Well, how does it come? By the Word of God. But I don't know what it is. I just know I got it. Well, how did you get it? By the Word of God. I believe the report. I believe what he said about it. But this faith that works in me didn't work in me till I got it. Amen.
I don't know what it is that works in me. It's the Spirit of God, which is one of the parts of the Holy Ghost. Faith is one of them, of the Spirit of the Spirit. And I got it when I got saved. I got faith. That's the Holy Ghost. And I can't reason it all out. I can't figure it all out, because when it's so dark and it's so dead and I can't feel and I can't see, I can't know, I don't have nothing in me. All of a sudden, something just keeps going. I somewhere later, I just walk on by faith. I just go through the darkness. I'll go through the storm. I say, what's going on in you? God, one day birthed in me of the Holy Ghost, and faith was wrong.
When the last days come, shall there be faith upon the earth? These are children that are not of faith. He said there will be a generation that has no faith. It don't do a bit of good if you don't believe what you're preaching. What are you up here preaching for? You don't believe it? Spurgeon said you've got to believe what you preach. You know what he said about faith? He said it begins to die. Faith begins to live when it's threatened to die. When faith is threatened to die, that's when it begins to live. That's right, when it starts to live, when you start to die. Oh, yeah. I'm going to hang up right here because it's already 15 till and I ain't even got to the point. I mean, when everything goes wrong. I mean, when they say you got cancer. Amen, sister. When you got cancer and when everything's happened to your mom and daddy and your grandmas and everything else, and you don't have no food. And you wonder how it's going to be paid for. Amen. And you're sitting in there and worried yourself to death about it. You wonder how the world's going to work face. You say, oh, I guess you had great faith when you left. I know, I was scared to death. I was worried to death. I was sitting there worried just like anybody else. The only thing I could say when I was laying there in that recliner and they told me I had cancer and all of other things, you know, when I don't have no any kind of income or anything like that, when you go into evangelism, you go to start. But anyway, when you get into that area and you get there, you just wonder how in the world you're going to take place. All I know is that I just say, Lord, whatever. Whatever, you know, whatever you want. I mean, I can't do nothing about it anyway. Just whatever you want, you know. And a lady come up to me here for this meeting, and I never seen like the money here lately. How many people come up and give me money everywhere? Some man came up and gave me a little old mint the other day, and he had $100 bill wrapped around that mint. And I took the, I said, well, I appreciate that, brother. And I opened that mint up, and you what it said, compliments of a funeral home. I said, what in the world you got in that thing anyway, brother? I said, you got a cyanide tablet in there trying to get business or something? I wrapped that thing up, the $100 bill, and said it was a mint. Amen. And he was a pot, that was a funeral home. I said, I don't know where I would trust that or not. He might be wanting business. Amen. Hey, you don't understand what faith. I'll finish up here. We'll go eat, all right? Hey, I'll just take these 2 points. I got some good outline. I showed it to them preachers. I ain't going to get to it. I'll preach it to you. I'll call me up. I'll call you and preach it, all right? Amen. I'll call you and preach it. Amen. Amen. Just turn the speakerphone on and set it up there on our stand and just keep a driving. Amen. Just keep a driving. I called Brother Price and he was in the steakhouse and had about 20-something people. I stirred up and going at it, brother. And he took his speakerphone and turned it on right in the middle of that Western sizzling and turned it up. And I was a rolling, brother. I mean, I just let her go all. I wasn't nice, wasn't it, brother? I was letting her go, wasn't it, brother? Oh, brother James is listening to me. I got one more thing. I'm gonna tell him. Well, what's he want me to do then? What does the Lord... I'm not talking about you. Well, the worst thing about it is God's made me. He ain't caused me. He has made me be around Him. Now, I think His daughter is the greatest girl in the world. She was going to take my time of preaching today. Amen, sister. But she just couldn't get her message right. She just saying, I just couldn't approve of it. It just wasn't what we needed right now. But she's going to preach in my time. I'm going to leave you alone. I want to finish this message, all right? He forgot the past. He named that second son Ephraim, which meant fruitful. Let me give you these 3 things I was trying to give you on to be.
not knowing, that's Judaism. And it's not in doing something. What about the Islams and the Iraqis, all them? What about they do, man, faithful 5 days a week they pray. It's not in your doing. It's not in your doing. And it's not in your feeling. What about mysticism? They're feeling something, brother. Mysticism. They're feeling. It's not in your feelings. It's in your being. What do I want to do? I want to be fruitful. I want to be fruitful in the land, of my affliction. What he said is, he said, I'm going to forget the past. And I'm going to get filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to be fruitful right in the midst of Egypt. Right in the midst of my afflictions. Right in the midst of everything that's going on. I'm going to get filled with the Spirit. I'm going to get turned over when God told. I believe it's been so this week. I believe some men of God are filling up and rolling over, brother. You need to fill up with God. Right in the midst of your afflictions. God will bless you. They lie underneath. You looking for some big thing out there? That's all we are. We're looking for some great big movement. Yeah, right. Looking for something to blow in or blow out, you know? Yeah. You'll come in here tonight and you ought to come expecting. But how about getting tanked up yourself? Yeah. How about just going over and get overflowing yourself and nobody could preach? I mean, you come here, you boys did you have done a miracle. You got Brother Bill up off his feet saying, praise God. Hey, amen. You stir up them old timers. You're doing something, buddy. Being fruitful. He forgot the past. And all of his dreams and all of his failures, he forgot them. He forgot his failures. He forgot his past and his dreams. It didn't turn out the way I thought it would. He said, I'll just name his second son Ephraim. I'll just be fruitful in the land of my afflictions. And I'm done here. It's not in the point. I'm forgetting the past and I'm being fruitful in the present. For one reason. And I think this is what's working here with us. That I might be forgiving in the future. It's making you and bringing you to the place when they come to you, you can forgive. If we couldn't forgive each other this week on all the things that's happened to us. If you can't forgive your brother on the things that happened to you or sister right now. God has let all those things come in your life. He's let them all have. The blessings are underneath. The blessings are underneath. Forget your plans. Forget what your dreams are and your toiling. Forget it all. And gold, get a gold. Your gold is going on alone. Going on, how'd I write that down? Going on after life. That's what my points are. The goal, going on after life. Going on after life. Because on the end of this thing, what God wants you to do is to be able to forgive. Not be bitter and get out of it. Not quit. Not say, it ain't no use, I can't get along with a brother anyway. Every time I go, they're shooting at me. No, they don't like me anyway. Blessings down there if you let it come out. The blessings of the deep that lieth under. All these things was for their good. You been shot at? You lost your family?
your dreams of all of it, forget your past and your toiling. Get filled with the Spirit in the midst of the land of the afflictions. Because out there is a forgiving future. They're going to come to you and they're going to say, "He won't forgive us." Oh, yes, He will. Oh, yes, He will. He'll forgive them. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for these brethren. And God, I know that I'm touching the areas that they'll run through all the things that we know about and the things we've battled. And these young ones that are beginning with the dreams in their heart and in their life. Maybe a young family that's dreaming to have a great home. And a lot of things can happen to them, God. But He was a separate one. He was also like a shepherd. He was a sovereign person. He knew how to rule. So help us, Lord, as we endeavor to live for You. And in the end of our old age, as it was with Jacob, He loved Joseph because he was a child of his old age. And we love these young men. We love them, God. And we pray that You might help them and they might see. May we be an example before them. And may we be able to forgive one another in these last days. Give us revival, Jesus. Set this camp made in a way that when we leave here, we have a forgiving heart. You have a forgiving spirit. And I'll praise You in Your name, I ask. Amen.